This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, curious people. Welcome to Pretty Curious, our podcast on all things beauty. I'm Jonathan Van Ness. I hope your Monday is treating you right. I know ours is. This week, we're talking to someone who I'm obsessed with. I was turned on to this person through Elok. It is none other than the master hair colorist and wigologist, Dee Tranny Bear. We're talking all about their journey with hair from growing up in Bavaria, which is Germany. I should have known that already, but I didn't, to working with a Laverne Cox and Elok. And also, we get to talk about this incredible show that Dee's working on that uses JVN hair. But first, it's time to get ready with me. You guys, I have some major updates on Vegas beauty trends. So Vegas is like very much known for its casinos and its gambling, but it's also known for spas. So one thing I'm going to do while I'm here in Vegas is I'm going to go to a bunch of the spas and put together a little guide for you guys on like what's worth it and what's not worth it for Vegas spa services. So yesterday I hit up the Encore Spa, and I got the hydrofacial that Nyamka was telling us about. So I got the hydrofacial yesterday. It was really good. I highly recommend it. It's this like separate machine. It applies products and also like infuses the products more into your skin, and also does extractions. I was obsessed with it. My skin feels incredible today. I just absolutely loved it. I also had an incredible massage there. Really loved. I will say also, since we've been in Vegas, it is so incredibly dry here. So for any desert people, if you are not oiling your scalp and oiling your hair, it's why your hair is not growing. It's why your hair feels dry. It's why your hair is not holding on to its shape and why it's not holding on to its color as long as it could be. So if you live in the desert, you should be doing pre-washed scalp oil or another scalp and hair oil to apply before you wash your hair. Please do it. Okay, it's time for a listener question. Scalp care tips for a dry scalp. There are suddenly so many new products out there for the scalp, and I don't know where to start. So a pre-poo or like a pre-wash treatment is going to be the best place for you to start. That's where you take the oil, you put it all throughout your scalp, and then you want to disperse it all the way through your ends, massage through your scalp, let it sit for like 10 to 15 minutes, and then you're going to wash it out. I do like to do a double wash on the days when I do a scalp oil just to make sure that you have everything out of there. But it deeply hydrates and helps to seal, calm, and smooth your scalp and your hair. It just kind of balances everything, clarifies, but also soothes and moisturizes at the same time. Obviously, I love our JVN hair one, but I've heard great things about Fable and Mane's and some other folks's. I also think Sacred has like a cool rice treatment now. The thing is with that, don't use like straight coconut oil or just like straight up essential oils. You want to use something that's been formulated for your scalp and has been refined enough for your scalp. I think that really is so very important. Also, tips for dry scalp. It's not only about like a pre-wash treatment. It's also about, we've been told to like not condition our scalp because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want my blow dry way down. Your scalp really needs the moisture. And in the shower, all the steam has like opened up your skin. So I always apply conditioner to my scalp. And I really never have dry, flaky scalp unless I have like a full-on psoriasis flare-up. But that doesn't have anything to do with dryness. But what you can do if you're worried about buildup on, or if you're worried about a lack of volume, but you still want to condition your scalp, I would recommend a volumizing conditioner on your roots, and then you could use a heavier conditioner on your ends. So I often will do like our Embody conditioner on my scalp, but then I'll transition to like our hydrating conditioner on my ends. Sometimes your head and your hair needs different things based off of like where it is. So I do love a volumizing shampoo on roots with a hydrating conditioner on ends if your scalp needs a little bit of an extra kiss. Anyway, it's time for us to get to our conversation with none other than Dee Tranny Bear. Dee Tranny Bear is a master wigologist and hair colorist. Having grown up in Germany, Dee recently came to the U.S. and has taken the industry by storm. They frequently work with celebrities such as Laverne Cox, Alok, and internationally acclaimed painter Kehinde Wiley, and many other influential leaders across industries. Dee, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Dee, I so wish that this was like an in real life talk show sometimes, just so that people could see the majesty, the drama, the glam, the beauty. Can you give people a verbal journey through what I am getting to feast my eyes upon right now? Can you verbally guide people through the fucking gift that you're giving to us right now?
Thank you, baby. I love it. Well, you know, I just did a little something. This is a light glam for me. You know, this is like actually not that dramatic. I could have elaborated a bit more. But yeah, I colored this piece specifically like for you because I was like, oh, I want to do a bun. You know, I have a little bit anime. I have shaved in the front and then hair in the back. So I was like, let me do a little something moody. You know, like really deep tones, and then it kind of blends in with the painting.
And you snatched that top bun so tight, you ripped all your hair out. So it is giving me snatch to the top bun. Dee, I love you so much. It literally hurts my fucking clear bones. Wait, so you're a hair colorist and a wigologist to the stars, honey. What was your journey like? You were just a little baby? Like, how did you start working with hair?
Okay, so it's actually really easy to, like, kind of tell my trajectory because when I was in school, regular school in Germany, I was like, because my parents were so strict and Catholic and, you know, and I never fit any of those boxes. After school, where I went to school in the next bigger town, because I lived in like this little village, we would always like hang out after school in town. And I met this hairstylist who had his own hair salon. And I was 15 at the time. And literally he was like, you seem so creative. You seem so out there. Do you like doing hair? And I was like, I love doing hair. And he was like, you should come and like, you know, after school, I'll show you the ways and we'll do, you know, like I'll kind of like introduce you into the hair business that way. And then when you're done with school, you can figure out if you want to be a hairstylist or not. And so that kind of helped me because in school, I used to be part of the dance team. So like, of course I would glam all the dance girls.
Yes.
You know, so like hair makeup was always sort of in my life, but I've always drawn more towards hair because I love doing hair. Clearly I can do makeup too, but I personally don't work as a makeup artist because I don't like to be in people's faces like that. I like to be on your head. I don't like to be in your face. So that to me, I've learned early on that I can do makeup, but I'm way more comfortable in hair. So when I worked after school, literally every day in the salon. And then when I finished regular high school, then I moved to Berlin from this little small shit where I was. can I curse? Oh my God, wait. I need
fuck
to.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Yes.
Okay. She got a mouth of a sailor sometimes. And so I moved to Berlin and then did my apprenticeship as a hairstylist in Berlin, which was amazing because like leaving a small town and going into like the biggest city of the country you live in, you know, it's such a culture shock. But to me, I needed it. I needed to get out of that little small town where everybody's in your business, where everybody judges you. And I never fit in, clearly.
There's a judgmental Germany? I didn't even know.
You did? Oh, okay. What I always like to say is the South of countries are so similar. Because the South of Italy is super conservative and close-minded. The South of Germany is, South of France. It's like, you know, there's places in that mimic America so well, you know what I mean, in that way. Because if you think about it, it's the small town mentality in so many. I mean, coming from small towns in America, people leave their small towns because they hate that feeling of having everybody on their necks all the time.
So what was it like, or just to take a little detour, because like Bavaria, because like, aren't you, is that like
in the top region of Bavaria? It's called Oberfranken. That's where I grew up in. And it's actually pretty well known if you know classical music, because Richard Wagner is the town that he actually was born and grew up and has this like famous opera house in. That's where I went to school.
Oh.
In Bayreuth. Yeah, so like that's kind of funny because like I also, when I worked in Michael's shop, like in the guy's hair salon where I kind of like started, got my foot in, He did hair for the music arrangement situation, like, you know, when the Festspiel actually happened. And I got to do hair with him there one time. And that's when I discovered I love doing updos. I love doing, like, you know, kind of like creating, you know, like art out of hair.
Is it different getting your Cosmo license in Germany? Is it like harder? Does it take longer?
I think it's interesting because in America, you have it very like where you're in school all the time, right? Where in Germany, you are in school like beginning of the week, middle of the week, and the end of the week. And then the rest of it, you are in the salon actually working. So it's way more, I think like that's what I liked about the apprenticeship there, because you do work with clients, right, while you are learning. Now, yes, of course, they're not just going to let you like freestyle by yourself. You always have like an educator with you, like, you know, kind of like overseeing stuff. But because I had experience prior to, my boss was a little bit easier with me. She was like, well, go ahead, do clients. I want to see how you do. And I've had my clientele like in my second year of apprenticeship already, like, because it was like, people were like, oh, D got it. D knows what they're doing. Let D do. And I was like, okay.
When did you come here?
Now 16 years ago.
So like, because you like did hair like in Germany. So you like came in like your 20s or something, or like your late teens or something.
Exactly. Literally, I came here when I was 20.
So you come to the US, you've been working with that person in Berlin, and you're like, how did you get the courage to like move to Manhattan?
There was two things that were kind of like the factor in this. So I started to become really unhappy in Berlin because I needed to conform to, like, you know, they wanted me to be just a man and, you know, gay and whatnot. And that was never me. But I also didn't share with my boss and my coworkers that I was actually looking into transitioning. When I was 19, I was really like thinking, oh, this is what I need to do in order to be happy. Because I didn't really realize that non-binary, you know, gender fluid and two-spirited people are part of the trans community. And once I found that out, I was like, well, I'm way more comfortable in that space than I am actually me trying to pretend to be a woman, that I never felt like that. You know, I always felt like I'm everything in one. So when I finished my education in Germany, I started getting really stifled and like feeling like I don't want to do hair anymore. And that had a lot to do with me not being happy personally. So I got to go on a trip to New York because I met this fashion designer, and he wanted me to come to New York and do hair for his lookbook. And child, when I came here, it was like, that was all she wrote. And then from there, I did a student visa and came here to, like, you know, study and see what I could do. And then from there on, I just stood here and figured out my way.
Oh my God. And so then, what did breaking in, so you do the lookbook, and then what happens? Like, how do you keep doing hair?
Okay, so through him, I've met a few photographers and people in fashion. And my first editorial that I shot here was the second issue of Flaunt magazine, which was kind of crazy because Flaunt is fab as fuck and really, like, you know, like crazy out there and editorial and fashion and artsy. And so that was really cool because the book was so damn big, you know what I mean? And when I got the book back, that was really like, I was like, oh, wow, I did this. It was like a 9-page spread that we did all these different hair and makeup looks, even though it was in black and white. And from there, I just always word to mouth. And then the more I got to meet more queer people in New York, then even more word to mouth started happening. And then, which was interesting because me and Deja met, my business partner, best friend, we have our own company together. We met through our mutual friend who's a famous drag queen, Harmonica Sunbeam, and we got to do her hair and makeup together. And that's how we kind of like, we're like, oh, well, we work really well together. We should try to figure out if we could do this. And that's how we start building up from there. And at our launch party that's kind of like shot us out into the universe. And that's where actually Laverne came to our launch party. And that's how I got to meet her.
I am obsessed with like you and Deja, like starting like a, like giving like like the wall group, like the queer wall group, and you rep like really fierce mm-hmm. like hair and makeup artists, and like they and yeah. oh my god, I think that'd be so cool. It's so cool.
We already are part doing that because we have a roster of hair and makeup artists that work with us. So you know, for like bigger projects,
maybe just need like the title for it because you're already doing it, honey.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News and World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Any advice to like people who are in the beauty industry? Maybe they're newer, maybe they're thinking about changing careers, mm-hmm. As far as like being an independent stylist, being at like a commission salon, being, you know, represented yeah. by an agency, or being like not represented by an agency if you are wanting to get into the editorial space.
I mean, with up and coming artists, I always like to say the same thing. It's like, always get your feet wet, meaning like assist, don't be scared to assist. It's always great to, you know, you learn so much about a specific business. Even within the hair industry, there's so many facets that you can fall in. So it's always great to assist. Same in a salon, same on set. You know what I mean? Like, because you get to learn each rope that way. Of course, do your education the right way, right? Like, if you want to be a salon artist, go get your license, work in a salon. I think sometimes that can really help. I mean, for me, for example, because I've been in a salon since I've been 15 years old, I've gotten to know the industry like that. I recommend for young artists to really find your niche the way it calls you. So what you feel more comfortable, in a space with other artists like a salon, and y'all create a family there, amazing. Step into that field. Really figure out what you need to do. Get, you know, like go get your license, go do your things. When film and TV, same thing. It's like, you know, assist, try to get your hours. Now, especially the way it's changed, when you do, like when you go with a client, like for example, they have press and you do any type of press with them, those count as days too now, which used to not. So that's really amazing. So you can get in union ways of that as well. Always keep all the call sheets, always keep everything because you need to prove that you've been doing work, right? So like, I think that that's also a thing that I had to learn when I was younger. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I've done some work. I've done this. And then not care about like the back end of it, like where I was like, oh, I need to keep that call sheet. Oh, I need to keep that. And then when I learned that, I was like, oh. So for young artists, I would always say that. Really like dive in and never be afraid of assisting, because assisting can really like open your eyes to what the actual industry means and how you insert yourself in.
Okay, Dee, I have a question. New question. So if someone is completely new to wigs, never worn a wig, never had a wig done for them, they've never like bought a wig, put a wig on. Like, let's say someone has dark hair and they've always wanted to go blonde, but they don't want to bleach their own hair. How would you recommend, like, is it possible for someone to like get a wig on their own head and like do their own hair underneath it and have it look really good? Or do you suggest going to someone to have it done every time and then you just like take that little glue off, or what?
Personally, for me, it's like there is people that are very good with their own hands, right? So for folks that are actually, you know, they watch YouTubes and whatnot on how to apply from other artists or on Instagram and do that, right? I'm like, go for it. Because I have a few clients that I know that, yes, I've installed their wigs. But they're starting to get really good at by doing them themselves because they don't want to always, you know, spend the money. So I'm like, I think that really is a give and take, like for people that really want to explore out there and do changes and, like, you know, switch it up, I think it's smart to learn how to at least do the basics, right? I mean, it's not everybody knows how to braid their hair down. There's so many phenomenal Black women, baby, that they know how to cornrow themselves. I'm like, nobody's business. But not everybody knows how to, like, you know, like, braid their own hair down.
I can do it on people, but I can only do, like, my own right side really good. My left side, I just cannot figure it out. So, like, let's say someone like me wanted to, like, let's say the girl's me. Let's say I want my hair red or blonde or whatever, and I just am not going to do my own virgin hair. I want to give, like, oh my God, I'm so scared. What kind of gay am I right now? I want to give Meryl Streep Devil Wears Prada, but I'm not cutting my hair off, and I'm not bleaching toning it silver.
Right.
How am I putting my hair up to achieve a wig?
Okay, so I actually, for folks that don't know how to braid, right, there's two options. Either you're going to go somewhere and get a base, like, braid down, right? Like, either the spiral is actually the easiest, so it contains it fully down, but you can also do straight back halfway and then have it spiral in the back. Anyway, but, like, if you don't want to pay for that, you know how to do, like, twists?
Yes.
Like, when you twist your own hair on the base, you can do that as well because that mimics cornrows in a way. It's not as secure, but it is sort of like, because you could do that easily. Anybody can, because I've seen people that even just take these two pieces, right, and twist them back so they stay out of their face. So people are kind of, like, more versed in that. So if you don't really know how to braid and whatnot, then do that. But honestly, I think it's always easiest to cut out some steps for yourself if you are not versed in them. So yes, get your hair braided down for so you can wear a wig, or start learning how to braid
it. What about a wig cap? Can you do, like, a low pony and, like, put it up in a wig cap or something? Like, is there?
You can, but the problem is with this: if you slick your hair down, right, and put it in a low bun, and if you don't have, like, if you have thin hair, that's cool. But where is, yes, nowadays, you know, that changed a lot too with the grip bands, right? Where you can put the band around and it holds your wig down. But a lot of people never use those, and they haven't started coming around until like since five years from now, right? Like, so they got really big recently. They haven't really been out there. But then you have no way to secure your wig. If you just slick your hair down and put it in like a ponytail or bun or whatever in the back, the only place where you could really secure it is the back, but then there's nothing in the top that can hold it down unless you have one of those grip bands, right? But to me, I think that, yes, no matter when, you should always put a wig cap over it. And you shouldn't do the wig caps that have, like, the really thick bands around the face. I actually like the stocking method where it's like a continuous long stocking. You pull it fully over your head and snip it off. So there is, like, it's really thin, right? So, like, you can use a little hairspray or whatever, melting spray or gel, what you do to hold that stocking down. I really don't like layering glue over glue over glue over glue over glue. I don't personally, because I also believe in that if you glue your temples too much, that's when all that wear and tear happens all the time. So, like, for me, what I do most of the times, I glue the front, right, to the most obvious place, and then I pin a lot on the sides, because if you know how to fold your wig under on the temples and pin it in, even when the wind blows, when you have edge control or whatever, you know, you use to slick your own hair back, and where the break of the wig is, when you pin it down the right way, you won't see it. So, like, that can be a easier way of actually having to fully glue the entire perimeter. Now, if you want to do a full slick back situation, you're going to have to glue it down. But, you know, there's ways of cheating certain things that you don't always have to do. I think that if you put too much glue in your temple sides, ooh, that can be so hard on your edges, right? Like, and no matter who you are, doesn't matter what ethnicity you are.
So for a new person, you would do stockings, like pantyhose. Mm-hmm. You put the legs, yes. Like you put the, like, your head in the, like, part that you would put your butt in, and then, like, the legs are just, and then what happens? What do you do?
No. You know, like, it's technically, you can get that on Amazon. It's like,
it's like hose, like, stocking cap.
Yeah, it's like hose that are like constantly long, and you just snip them wherever you need them. So it's like almost like, you know, the cotton that comes in, like, where you just pull it out and it's always like this one look.
So it's not a wig cap. It's just like a long ass thing of nylon.
Technically, to me, those are better because you can, of course, always use a stocking cap, but most wig caps have like, you know, they have a seam around it, right? Like, and that seam is normally thicker. And so when you then put it down and have that like thicker band right around where the edge of the wig is, you'll always kind of see it through. That's why I like the nylon that doesn't have necessarily that band around the edge of the wig cap, because then you can mount that in easier.
But how do you make it into like a cap if it's just like a strip of nylon? Or it is like a cap, it just doesn't have the strip around it?
Well, technically it's that. So what you do is when you measure and like on, you pop it on, and then whatever is excess, you snip off, and then whatever is like that piece that's open in the back, you know, you make either a little knot or you actually just fold it down and pin it in. You know, so it's like one, it looks like a ball cap, but it's not.
Oh. Wait, let's talk about Laverne, if we can. We're obsessed with Laverne in this house. We love Laverne Cox.
Always.
You have been working with her for like 9 years, right?
10 years now, yeah. So the funny thing is I met Laverne through Deja. Because she came to our launch party where we launched our business. And that's literally when she asked Deja to do her makeup for Orange's New Black Press, right? And with that being said, one of our sisters, M. Alessandro, used to do Laverne's hair for that specific press. But she had these two wigs that she just really was like, I like the hair, but I really hate the color. And then Deja was like, oh, well, Dita's like phenomenal color. Would you want D to color the piece? And Laverne was like, oh, I'm down. Like, I would love to wear these pieces, but I hate the color so much. So yeah, let's do it. And I did both of those pieces colors. And she was like, you got to be fucking kidding. She's like, this is a revelation. This is beautiful. So that's how we started to work with.
Oh my God, I love that. What have been some of like your favorite looks you guys have done?
Okay, so there's a few things really that stick out. Like, I mean, we just did the British Vogue. Oh my God, wait, I thought I had it. Oh, I'll put it away. We just shot for British Vogue. That was really phenomenal. It was my piece that I created for her. So that was really incredible because it wasn't only me styling the hair on set. It was also like my color that I made for that piece. I mean, we're about to start press for it. I think press is starting in June, if I'm not mistaken, for the show that you were so graciously able to give us your product line for.
Oh, did you like it?
I used for 3 episodes. I used your entire product line. And so I cannot wait to show you all the pictures because they're so amazing.
I love that. And I love her work and I love you. What is the difference between like a wig that someone would buy already done versus like a custom wig that's like made by hand by someone? Like, do you like sew in like hair by hair? So like the hairline is more custom and more beautiful.
Exactly. So what I do is I have vendors where I get base hats from. If you know, it depends. If you ventilate the entire wig. Ventilating means you stitch in each hair one by one into the lace, like you knot it into the lace. That's a really, really intense process. I don't mind doing it. I have patience when it comes to hair. So like, I don't mind, but that's way more expensive than you actually just getting a base wig and then you customize the base wig. Because there are great suppliers that supply.
You just like do the little hairline in the front a little bit more nice.
I do the hairline. Right, exactly. I ventilate a little bit more on the hairline. And then Laverne likes her hair to be thick. So I add a shit ton of hair to the wigs normally. I'm really excited. She just got back from this project. There's no name for the project, but it's like this really big movie where she's playing like a smaller part in it. And I got to make her wig for that as well. Sometimes I was kind of hoping that I was going to be able to like, you know, be her personal for this because it was only 5 days, but they were, you know, how production goes and they were specific about what they can and what they can't do. But I'm excited that I still was part of it. You know what I mean? In that way, like my essence is still there because I made the wig for the movie. You know what I mean?
Okay, wait, D, it's time for our rapid fire, like segment 3. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
It's rapid fire. Give it to me. What's your budget beauty recommendation.
I'm always believing Aquanet for drag hair, any type of synthetic wig. Aquanet is the shit, okay?
What about like a gorgeous splurge?
Kérastase.
Yes, okay, I love that. What's a product you never leave home without?
I will never leave the house without leave-in conditioners.
Favorite makeup brand?
MAC for me.
What about your most favorite beauty look of all time?
Okay, well, I mean, it's kind of like easy for me to tell because I'm like, I have ink that represents that. It's 1920s and 1960s.
Oh.
So I have like my 60s girls back here with the rollers and the bouffant and the finger waves in the front. So that's kind of like my favorite of all time.
I am obsessed with that. Okay, now this is meh or major. I think I know the answer to some of these for you. Bold, non-traditional colored wigs.
Major.
Lace front wigs.
Major.
Two wigs stacked on top of each other.
Fuck yes, absolutely.
Giant headbands.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, major.
Face framing highlights.
Yes, if it works for your skin tone, absolutely.
What about French twists?
Fuck yeah. I love updos, so that's always a yes to me.
What about blunt bangs?
If it suits your face, sure.
What about a wispy little see-through fringe?
Always. Yes.
I think that was like the most fun episode. Can we kiki forever and just do Pretty Curious every day? It's so much fun. So, and also what social are you the most active on?
Instagram. Instagram is like my most active.
And D, what's coming up for you and what are you most excited about?
Well, what's coming up is really the press tour for this new show. So I'm super excited about that because I cannot freaking wait for people to see what we've done.
And what channel or where can we watch it?
It will be on Amazon and on Freevee.
Yes.
Like, you know, the sister company that's for free. So, and the cool thing is it's going to be in 80 different countries. I'm so excited.
Wow. And what's it called again?
Clean Slate.
So Clean Slate. Follow your ass on Instagram.
Period.
Okay, D, I love you so much. Thanks for coming on Pretty Curious. We love you so much. Thanks for being so generous with your time.
I love you. Thank you so much.
We love you. You've been listening to Pretty Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. You can learn more about this week's guest in the episode description and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Curious with JVN. Pretty Curious drops every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to tune in every Wednesday for Getting Curious. Still can't get enough? Honey, you're insatiable. Subscribe to Extra Curious on Apple Podcasts for commercial-free listening and our subscription-only show, Ask JVN, where we're talking all about sex, relationships, or really just whatever's on my mind that week. Our theme music is composed by Nathaniel McClure. Come on, Nathaniel. Our editor and engineer is also Nathaniel McClure. Yes. Getting Curious is produced by me, Chris McClure, and Julia Melfi, with production support from Julie Carrillo, Ann Curry, and Chad Hall.